You are listening to Destiny Pizzas.
Today is Wednesday, August 16th, 2017, week 215 of Destiny Pizza. I'm Dhruv Patel.
I'm Mike Steska.
And I'm Lahani Cook.
3 days in a row. Well, people know how we record at this point.
Yeah. That, I know we always do the illusion,
That you had to come here 3 times in a row, but yeah. You just had to stay here. For the fact that you stayed here after that last episode, which was what some might label a tragedy on my behalf. That I just let that happen. But yeah, this will be better.
Yeah. let's hope, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. Some of the movies we saw here, we could probably confuse the cast in that one. And it would be okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'd know everybody, though, actually.
Consumed very white things this week. Oh, no. In Tour de Pharmacy, there was like...
Now you're going to say there's one dude in there.
There's two.
There's
two black people in that movie. And technically, 4 Africans. But that's part of the thing. Let's get into We Viewed Reviewed movies.
Okay, movies I'll talk about the movie I saw. I saw Sing, which is the animated movie with all those animals in that city. And they sing, like the title.
There's like a gorilla, and there's a pig, and there's a porcupine, and there's...
There's like those frogs.
Yeah.
And there's like, yeah.
Ragtag team.
Ragtag group.
Of,
and they put on a... Yeah, it's like Matthew McConaughey is like the main dude. He like puts the show together.
Oh, I didn't
He's a koala.
Yeah, I didn't even put that together. That was him.
Yeah.
They have like a lot of people in this movie.
Yeah, it's like
Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, Scarlett Johansson. Reese Witherspoon. Taron Egerton. Who else are like the main stars? What's his name?
Seth MacFarlane.
Stepbrothers. Seth MacFarlane. Yeah. He's like the little mouse dude.
Jennifer Hudson. John C. Reilly. Nick Offerman.
John
Nick
C. Reilly. I was thinking of.
Leslie Jones. Rhea Perlman.
Yeah. Big cast.
Jay Farrow. That's the only people I recognize.
Yes.
Tori Kelly. Sorry. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically they're all. Singing competition. It's mostly a movie to get them singing, I guess.
Yeah.
A lot of songs in the movie.
They're like, it worked well for the Smurfs.
Yeah. Let's do some singing. So, but yeah, I enjoyed it. And I think it was well put together.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun. Like, no like crazy story going on.
I feel like Taron Egerton's father is like a mob boss.
I know, that's pretty crazy.
And he like wants to sing. The mob boss doesn't, but his son wants to sing, and he's like, you're a little, like, why don't you want to be a mob boss like your father?
Oh, that's fine.
And he's responsible for his father going to jail.
Which is pretty nuts, and I, like, wouldn't forgive him. I don't think
because
I would.
Because he's supposed to be, like, the getaway driver or something.
Yeah.
And then...
He's like, I can make it back?
Yeah, he's like...
What are you doing?
I'm just going to go to this audition.
He's like, I got 28 minutes. You can make it back. I'm like, no, you can't.
Yeah, so he drives to this audition when he's supposed to be, like, waiting... to be the getaway driver, and he doesn't make it back in time.
Like, literally, the deal, they were going to get, like, $24 million, like, dollars worth of...
They sure it wasn't bananas. That's what the thing where I had the problem with it. I was like, if you're going to go animal in this movie, like, make the currency based on animals, everything based on animals. This isn't Zootopia. Let's get real. Just sing.
It was more, it was... Even more human than Zootopia. Like, it was very human.
Like, they were pretty much human.
Pretty much a human world. Like, I think that's the next step of Zootopia in the world. They become just human, basically.
That's but no one wants to watch that movie where it's all these people competing for a singing contest, because that's just, like, a weird version of, like, American Idol.
Yeah. Oh, it's kind of reminded me of, like, the Muppet movie.
Yeah.
Where they're just putting on some show.
It's kind of just like, animals of different sizes. Actually, that's sizes, like the exact shapes.
The ending becomes exactly like the Muppet movie.
I thought this was like a really heavy movie, though.
Yeah, that's
because it deals with
sounds like it.
Well, because every character.
Scarlett Johansson, she's in a band with her boyfriend. She sees her boyfriend kissing another girl, finds out that he's cheating on her, so she decides to go solo with her music, and then that's why she enters the competition.
Mm-hmm. The pig is like all neglected.
Yeah, she's like the mom.
Husband. She has like 20 kids.
And she has like dreams that are unfulfilled dreams because she had like a bunch of kids. And the koala bear is doing this because he's about to lose the theater because he took like loans out.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like,
what is this rated?
PG.
PG? That's some heavy stuff.
There is a lot of heavy stuff.
For kids.
I didn't realize like every character has that kind of huge, it's like one last chance.
Yeah, like it's, there's a lot riding.
There's a lot riding on everybody. And like
the crazy thing is only one of them can win.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's in like, theory. Oh, who do you want to win?
Yeah, like, do you want, like, the
and
kid?
And then you're like, I don't want that mouse to win because Seth MacFarlane's being a jerk in this movie.
Yeah. So, it's crazy.
Yeah.
What do you give this movie out of 8?
I would give it a 6. I enjoyed it. I think it was well made, and I like the songs because it's just human song. Human music.
Like American Rick music.
Morty. Much, yeah. Human music. But yeah, it's just like songs and stuff, so that was cool.
Yeah, I saw Ingrid Goes West, followed by a Q&A hosted by Jason Schwartzman with Aubrey Plaza and Elizabeth Olsen.
That was cool.
How long was that Q&A anyway?
Like 20 minutes.
Okay,
wasn't that long.
That's cool.
It was like, it went really weird because I guess while we were watching the movie, they did another Q&A for that movie in the same movie theater.
Huh. Were they showing another?
Yeah, they're showing it like there was a 7:15 showing and then a 7:45 showing. So it must have been like 30-minute Q&A. So like they pretty much did one Q&A and then went straight over to another place and did another Q&A.
That's interesting.
But Jason Schwartzman didn't want to answer the question, like ask the same questions, I guess, because like they've been doing promotion for the last 2 weeks. So he's like, how about we do an A and Q? Where you answer and then I try to guess the question that he would. And I was like, this is so strange.
So weird.
So then they did answers from the audience.
We're trying to switch it up for ourselves. We don't care that you weren't in the other Q&A.
Yeah. But yeah, this is about this girl who's clearly has mental issues. And not to be fair, like they aren't just random mental issues. Like they're caused by a lot of grief in her life. And so, as many girls, not just girls, I would say kids in general, they become very, like, obsessed with social media and becomes, like, obsessed with this one person, tries to befriend them, and thinks there's more to the friendship than there actually is, which is, like, it's a non-existent friendship. Hmm. And so, she goes to a mental hospital. Because she pepper sprays a bride at her wedding, and she's like, you never invited me. And then when she goes back home, she gets an inheritance from her mother who passed away, because her mom was sick, and that's why she thought she was friends with this person, is because this person commented on one of her pictures on Instagram right after her mom died. And so she's like reading this magazine in her room, and finds out that it's like LA has like a new it girl, and she's very fashionable, and she's an influencer named Taylor Sloan, who's played by Elizabeth Olsen, and she decides to go out west with all the money that she inherited, moves to Venice Beach, rents a one-bedroom from O'Shea Jackson Jr., who plays Dan Pinto, a screenwriter who's obsessed with Batman, and pretty much, like, stalks Elizabeth Olsen until she, like, befriends her, and then, like, all this stuff happens. The rest of the movie happens. That all everything I said pretty much takes place in the first like 20 minutes.
That's like the setup.
Yeah, it's a setup to the movie. I was surprised at how much, I don't want to say how much I enjoyed the movie, because it was very enjoyable and it was like a borderline thriller. But I think the biggest problem with movies like this are the trailers they show before it, since it is like a borderline thriller. They're like, let's go full scary with the trailers. So it's like movie. It and then there was no, there wasn't. They didn't do Annabelle. They did Happy Death Day, which is about, it's like Groundhog's Day, but this girl in a sorority dies. That it's like her birthday, but she dies, and every time she dies, she wakes back up in that same like room. Hmm. And then Mother, which is the new movie with Javier Bardem and Jennifer Lawrence, and that one looks really creepy. And I saw Gemini, the trailer for Gemini, which was with Zoe Kravitz and someone else. I forgot who else is in that movie. And that one looks really creepy, too. And I don't remember any other trailers I saw. I think my mind is protecting me and blanking it out.
It's like, it was so scary. You're like, I don't even want to say it out loud.
But it was really funny because before this movie, they did a short, which I didn't expect. And it's like this claymation short of like this weird person that doesn't have any defining features except for a butt. It's like a clay person. And they're just talking really nicely to you and saying like, good morning, like, I love looking at you. You are just going to have such a great day and stuff. And I was like, this is weirdly motivating. I was like, I think I should wake up to this every day. And it was just really strange. And then the movie started. But yeah, it's a really...
That wasn't part of the movie? That was like a short?
It was like a short, like a random
short
before.
But is it like attached to the movie?
Yeah. It's like made by the same production company. So if you were to go see Ingrid Goes West, you're going to see the short.
Okay.
Huh. I forgot what the name of the short was. But yeah, it is really good. Ingrid Goes West. I think it's probably the most realistic use of social media on film. And then like they introduce all these characters. That girl Palm something.
Oh, from Guardians.
From Guardians, she's in it, which I didn't realize. And then what's his name? Wes something Russell. He's like a guy. He's in it. And he was really good in it. I can't remember what else I saw him in, but he's in some stuff. Oh, and there's a Catwoman sex scene, so it's all worth it. Wyatt Russell is the name of the dude. He was in some stuff. Like, Everybody Wants Some, 22 Jump Street. I feel like he was in a horror movie. I don't remember. But yeah, I really like this movie. Give it a 7 out of 8.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. It looked interesting from the trailer, but a lot of the smaller movies are hard to know until you see it. So that is cool to hear.
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, it has an 86% on Rotten Tomatoes right now. Let's see what the rating
that's
is.
Pretty good.
Average rating of 7.2 out of 10.
Ah, that's really good.
So that's really good.
Was the Q&A really good, too?
Yeah, but I think they were really bored, clearly.
Oh.
They've probably been doing press tour for
a Yeah, they've been doing press time. For it forever. And it was funny because, like, Aubrey Plaza kept referring to Elizabeth Olsen as Lizzie. Huh. And I thought that was strange.
I think that's what people call her.
I didn't know that.
I think that's the thing.
So that was interesting. But then it was also really weird because it was at the Cinerama Dome. So they're like, okay, it's over. Like, Q&A's done. And then, like, an ArcLight employee comes and he's like, everyone please sit down, wait while the celebrities leave. Because, like, to leave, you have to, like, go through, like, three doors.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, and then you're, like, out on Sunset. So it's, like, they have to make sure they're out, like, and gone before they let anyone else out of, like, a giant theater. Like, probably the biggest movie theater I've ever been in. And I just thought that was very strange.
Bigger than that, what was that one we went to? Watch Super 8.
It's that one.
Oh, it is that one.
Yeah, it's that theater.
Oh, okay, that's
so
a big theater.
Like a huge theater.
That's what I do sometimes.
What?
Seminars.
Yeah.
Make sure that no one's gonna get
Yeah, but
later.
The thing is, like, as soon as they got up, like, people were going up to them,
yeah,
like, in the front row, and I was like, that's weird. Like, they don't want to be bothered.
That's rude.
Yeah.
No, some people, a lot of people do that. Ask questions later.
So, what's this guy from?
Black Mirror?
Yes!
That's the one. It's the one with the video game. He's dropping that horror.
Yeah.
He plays Elizabeth Olsen's husband.
Got it.
That's what I was like, I've seen him in something scary.
This is why I have good celebrity sightings.
See, I don't recognize anybody. I'm like, I don't know who's who.
Oh, wow, he's the son of Kurt Russell.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. That explains it.
Huh. Yeah.
He's okay.
Huh.
I was wondering why he got that role in Black Mirror. Because I've seen most of the people in Black Mirror in other stuff.
Yeah.
So he's in a lot
of
other
good
stuff.
People in Black Mirror.
Maybe not the stuff I've seen. I bet.
Yeah. He played Doubting Thomas in The Last Supper, which was a short from 2006. Mm-hmm. And he played Kurt Russell's son in Escape from L.A.
Why were they escaping L.A.?
Well, there's Escape from New York, and that's the sequel to Escape I haven't seen either of them. Yeah, me neither. Know, you just I just know those movies exist.
And yeah.
I think it's the first one's good, they people say.
Oh, and the second one's he gets not called good. In by the U.S. government to recover a potential doomsday device from Los Angeles, which is now an autonomous island where undesirables are deported. That's what Escape from L.A.'s plot is. Maybe it's not his son, though, because he plays an orphan boy.
So I guess it is. So I would think it's not his son. That was the backstory. They didn't say it in the movie.
That it but was really his son. Secretly Snake.
Snake Plimskin.
Unbreakable, I finally saw.
Yes. I think I already spoiled it for you like a couple weeks ago, but.
Is that one?
M. Night Shyamalan, Bruce Willis. He's unbreakable. He can't get hurt. Samuel L. Jackson, though.
He's very breakable.
Mr. Glass.
Oh, is that.
It's like old.
It's old.
Is that the connection to. Another movie?
Split?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I didn't know if you had already
previewed. I haven't seen Split yet.
He hasn't seen it, but I saw it. But I knew like, the spoiler before I saw it.
Yeah.
Which made me more interested in seeing it.
Yeah.
But also, like, it would have been cool to see it without knowing that, but I wouldn't have seen it if I didn't know
that. If you didn't know that it was, yeah.
I need to see that, because I saw Split, and I saw a certain character.
Yeah, and you're like, why is this major actor in this movie for, like, 5 seconds?
I just sat there, and I'm like, damn it, I missed it.
Yeah, there's no way you would get it. Yeah. You really wouldn't get it unless.
Well, because I saw an article a long time ago of how, like, it's like what to do when you accidentally spoil something you didn't know was going to happen. And they brought up Split in the conversation because the person's like, as a joke, they're like, oh my God, is that a sequel to Unbreakable? And the person's like, well, it kind of is. If it is a sequel to Unbreakable, like not really, not a direct sequel,
yeah,
but it has a relation,
same universe at least,
yeah.
Well, so, I'm pretty psyched for the next one,
which is Glass, right?
Which is Glass, like, and how they connect that, all that stuff.
Yeah, I think you'd like this one a lot because it deals a lot with like comic books.
Yeah, it's like a low key superhero movie. Yeah, that's what it is. It's like low key, like it's not. I think the movie's more enjoyable if you literally don't know anything. Like, it's been so long. Is it possible to do that now?
Well, I knew a lot about it, actually, because I was reading a lot about it.
I mean, you still
it.
Don't know, like, much about it when you explain it. But it's like, if you knew absolutely nothing, it'd be more
enjoyable. It'd be very enjoyable.
But it's still...
Like, if you didn't even know who M. Night Shyamalan was.
Yeah. But it's, like, low-key because it's, like, about Bruce Willis, who, like, basically is unbreakable. But he doesn't know it. And that, like, it's him discovering stuff. But that
it's like a superhero origin movie, pretty much.
Pretty much, because like nothing, like it's not a ton happens really in the movie. It's kind of like
that's the thing. It also kind of feels like, very long. Like Michael's like it's such a long movie. And we found out it's only like 1:45.
Yeah, I thought it was a really long movie,
but it feels very long. It feels long when you watch it because not a lot happens.
Yes, that's what it is.
Was the pacing pretty steady? It's just no action.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is.
Robin Wright is in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your homegirl.
Yeah. Credited as Robin Wright Penn because she was married to Sean Penn at the time, but we all make mistakes in our life.
That's what we learn from them. Yes. That counts.
But that's why I think like the next movie could be, I mean, temper my expectation, but Split was good. This movie is good, so I assume
another In the movie. Visit by M. Night Shyamalan was good.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever saw that one.
I have not seen that.
Yeah, it's a scary movie.
But I hear.
It was a good twist.
Good things.
I don't like to watch scary movies. I have
me either.
A very imaginative mind.
I like scary movies because they make me feel something.
Okay, we can talk about that. All right. Too.
A lot of movies make me feel something. I don't need to be scared.
But I think
though.
It's such a strong response you can get from a horror movie.
I get very emotional during movies, I think. So I don't need the.
You don't need
I don't need fear because I get like sad, you already get, sadness from the sad parts of movies and happiness from happy parts of comedies.
Yeah, I can get that from a Disney movie. Hercules.
Sadness?
Yeah.
He sacrifices himself? Is that barely, the scene though. Or is like that not it? He's going to die in the. He's going to live with all his dead bodies in hell.
Yeah, but it doesn't happen. Right? You know it's not going to happen.
Dude,
I mean, he gets super old.
We all saw ending. Hell, man. We all saw hell in that movie. That freaked me out.
Pretty creepy.
Because I was like, that's Cerberus. Creepy.
Yeah.
Cerberus, man. He's going to eat you.
But yeah, so Unbreakable. Give it a 6, I think. Very creative photography.
Yeah, there was some interesting
shots.
Because like, I hadn't seen it.
They
in
use
a while.
Like reflections a lot. Like he's filming the reflection off a TV. You're like, that's interesting. Yeah, like, it's like a blank TV screen, and he's filming the reflection of two people talking in it.
Yeah, he did like a whole scene like that, and I was like, oh, that's pretty interesting.
Like, this is why that M. Night Shyamalan became so big.
Yeah, yeah, that's why. Like, there was a time when he was really good.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh.
Let's talk about Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. This one was a very interesting movie to me, because I'm not a big Harry Potter fan.
Mm-hmm. But you've seen them all in the last...
I am.
Yeah, I've seen them all.
I'm a big Harry Potter fan. That really helps this movie, if you're a fan of that world, I think.
It's just so weird, though. Because like
it's very different from...
Yeah, it is very darker. Different from everything it's a lot else. Darker. I liked all the creatures.
The creatures are cool.
Yeah, because it's like weird versions of our creatures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But my problem with it is what I was telling Mike. I was like, it seems like someone at Warner Brothers was like, let's make a movie about like... what's the word I'm looking for? Like either like gay people or transsexuals or minority groups. Someone who suffered a long time, but let's not include any of them in the movie. And that's what it seems kind of like. Where like this movie, it could...
It's like an allegory for those things. But
without
like,
including any
using
of them.
Magical and non-magical as the reference
point. Yeah, they're like,
point.
Oh, you can't fall in love with a nomad.
Oh, kind of like the mutants.
Yeah. Yes. But this one, I felt like it was worse than like the X-Men. Like I felt like the X-Men did it much better because they have other races in that movie, I guess.
This one is starting. Apparently, it's supposed to be a trilogy or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, classic Hollywood. But I still loved it.
Yeah, I liked it too.
It was good. I liked the magic. I liked the beasts.
I think that was the most interesting part.
And, I liked Newt. And I liked the dude. Kowalski.
Yeah, he.
And
he
I
really
liked the other two women.
Really good. You wouldn't think you would like him, but he's really.
Yeah,
good.
I liked the two women, the sisters.
Yeah, they were really cool.
I didn't really like Colin Farrell's character, though. Wasn't sure what really drove him. That's why.
Well, he was Grindelwald. Like, oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Spoiled. I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah. But
that's right. You already did.
I shouldn't have said that. It's too late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but that was his whole thing.
That's his whole position?
That's the deal, because you don't know. You really don't know what's going on with him the whole time. And then the end, it's supposed to tell you, but like. Because, like, you kind of missed the beginning where they're showing all the newspaper headlines, mm-hmm. which was saying, where is he? He's missing and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And that's supposed to key you in to something. But, like, it was a big twist.
But what's up with Credence?
He was suppressing his
magic
stuff.
That was weird, too. I felt like there's a lot going on in this one movie.
Oh, yeah, there was.
Welcome a lot to the world of Harry Potter.
A lot of storylines.
Yeah, they just go too roundabout about it. Just tell me, like, hey, this is a movie about.
But it's like a twist. Yeah. Like I saw that movie in theaters and I was like, those two twists like threw me off. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Like I thought they were pretty good.
It seemed like it was more adult, like the Harry Potter
Definitely.
Series.
Yeah.
Just for children.
Well, because it's tackling
up.
These issues of.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like very different from Harry Potter in a sense. Cause like Harry Potter is about like children and then you're with Harry, you're discovering new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is like almost everyone was in the world except the one.
Yeah. But then it also raised up so many questions for us.
Yeah, it did. Harry Potter always raises questions for me.
Yeah, because I'm like, are they concerned with space travel? Are wizards funding their own version of NASA?
Mm-hmm. Well, I wonder if like if wizards are about progress.
Yeah.
Like, do they
try to like improve technology?
Non-magical people, they improve technology and they seem to progress into doing something. Like, we're trying to go to space and do that stuff. Mm-hmm. But are wizards doing the same? They seem to be status quo from this movie till like current Harry Potter.
Yeah,
well,
like
magic's
wizards
the
have,
same.
Yeah.
They just like don't do anything different. It's to me.
Yeah. That's
like there's no revolt of the house elves. There's like none of that.
Yeah, the house elves are still house elves.
They seem to be.
And that was a weird scene too, because I was like, what are they like alluding to? When they go to like the underground bar. I was like, are they trying to reference something? Like, is there like is one of the house elves like is he supposed to be like Jewish or something? Because like in Harry Potter, the goblins are like they're supposed
Clearly.
To be Jewish, right? I think that's what people
they
say.
They allude to a stereotype.
Yeah, and it felt like there was like a black house elf, and then there was like a white house elf, and I was like, are house elves more free in Europe, or less free in Europe? Because then he's also Newt says like, oh yeah, like you guys have different views of like falling in love with non-magic
you have backwards,
people.
Yeah, ideas of that.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is strange.
Yeah.
Well, I think some of it might rely on. Information that they put out through Pottermore
mm-hmm.
because there was like a bunch of background on different characters that there's like a whole entire history, and I think
She like did the whole history of America. So she's like Native American, and they were kind of getting pissy about it, I think.
Yeah, but it was the wording of it. Like, you got why she got why she said what she said, but the wording of it made it sound like Native Americans weren't really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
at certain things.
That seems like a very tricky thing to like delve into.
Yeah,
because she probably didn't think about the whole history of that when she was making the Harry Potter books and stuff, and then she has to come up with this answers for all this new stuff.
Well, she's all the way in England. She doesn't know that America messes up everyone else.
Yeah, yeah. How does she know all the cultures over here and stuff?
The crap. Yeah.
Well, I think that's why like magic in America is so much more awful than like in
But you'd think it'd be more even more secretive. Like in England, they seem so secretive of their magic.
Mm-hmm.
Where in America, you think it would be even more secretive after the Salem witch trials, but they seem pretty open about their magic. It's just magic everywhere.
Well, I think they had like a better system, like cops to get rid of it. They always
in America.
They always.
But then what about those cops that went rogue and were starting to murk people? Like, oh, look at this happiness in the river. Drown yourself. Or not in the river. In, like, the pool thing.
That's when they tried to kill him.
Yeah. It's like, what's going on here?
It's like,
more cops. More cops. Hey, we have rogue cops in the real world,
too. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we don't call them rogue cops here. We just call them police officers.
I think that's what the wizards were.
Yeah.
I think that was another illusion. There's, like,
Police brutality.
I think pulling from the real world and be like, look at what you've done.
Yeah.
Well, this doesn't make sense. We know.
Yeah.
Like, of course it doesn't make sense. This is what really happened. The world doesn't make sense.
So yeah, I give it a 7. I liked it, but it was some weird things were bugging me.
I love that movie so much. I really did.
Yeah. But it's just...
I think it's a good addition.
Yeah, it's a good
addition. To the Harry Potter. Like you could, this could easily go... terrible and you don't want to see another movie, but now you want to see another movie.
Well, because we kept bringing up the idea of an R-rated Harry Potter
movie. That would be a crazy weird movie.
Yeah,
an R-rated Harry Potter
side of the Death Eaters.
Yeah,
it's like this the violence, like, because they're like on the, in this movie almost, like, they're on the edge of like so much violence and like craziness that if it's like pushed one step further,
see a kid get beaten.
There's some like dark stuff in this movie specifically. Credence as a kid, like, I'm like, oh my gosh, that guy, like, he's getting more than just beaten with a...
And then I was always questioning the relationship between Colin Farrell's character and Credence.
Yeah, that was really weird,
too. Yeah, that definitely was weird.
I didn't understand that.
Hey.
But like, you can have this.
But he's, like, he's gay with Dumbledore, right? That's a thing in the, like, the universe? Or is it just Dumbledore's gay?
No, I think they're gay with each other.
That's what I thought. So
what do you have something?
Is that not true?
Like, yes and no, but like
they yes and no.
Like, is that not fact?
They definitely had feelings and stuff like that. They just
didn't okay. Maybe they never got together.
They decided not to act on it because people might protest her books. I think the real reason why they didn't.
Well, she didn't say
the
that
same
until,
reason
like, after,
Disneyland right? doesn't officially endorse Gay Day, but the seasonal cookie is a rainbow cookie whenever it's a Gay Day at Disneyland.
Gay Day.
Yeah, they have Gay Days.
LGBTQ+.
No, I think they call them Gay Days. They're like red shirts. People are wearing red shirts everywhere.
Is this Gay Day?
Well, no, they're unofficial.
Oh.
And Disney.
You call it Gay Day. Other people.
No, they're called Gay. It's called Gay Day.
I don't know. I never heard about this.
So. Yeah. I've gone a few times. Not wearing a red shirt. Well, one time I was wearing a red shirt. It wasn't for the cause, though.
Wait.
I just happened to be wearing a red shirt.
Coincidence.
Yeah. But it's like funny, like, because there's a lot of shirts where I'm like, Disney has to be hating this, because it's like Prince Charming kissing Prince Eric on a shirt. I was like, I don't think they'd be okay with that.
Disney loves it. They just can't technically say
they can't love it.
Yeah.
They love it, but they can't love it. Yeah, they can't publicly admit they love it.
Yeah.
But then the seasonal cookie, that's where the problem is, because their seasonal cookie is a rainbow cookie.
They love it.
Yeah.
They're just like, low-key, let's do this, but we don't want those, million moms after us?
Yeah. Or like the family.
That's kind of what it is, yeah.
Family people.
They cray.
Yeah. Tour de Pharmacy is HBO's latest sports mockumentary about the Tour de France. And it's about like this 1 year in the Tour de France where Orlando Bloom was one of the people and his heart exploded from so many drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this giant scheme by like the king of Lithuania or something that he said, if you pay $50,000, we won't drug test you, so everyone on this, it's not a real
tour. Yeah, it's all a joke. It's like making fun of
how drugs
are so prevalent in bike racing.
Yeah, so John Cena's in there. Andy Samberg is in there.
Okay, yeah. I guess that's a mockumentary after
David
that.
Diggs from Hamilton fame.
Yeah, because half of it's like 82 with those characters, and then their older versions are
also famous.
Also
people.
Famous actors, so and that's Dan current Glover times.
Plays David Diggs in the future, who's the first African American. He's Slim Robinson. He's Jackie Robinson's nephew.
No, grandson. I think he just says that because.
No, I think he really
was. Oh, he really was? Yeah. Oh, I didn't know.
And he's like, I need to make a name for myself. So the reason he got into bicycle racing was because that was the only sport that still had a color barrier.
Yeah.
And then Andy Samberg plays this guy whose father owned a diamond mine in Kenya. So he's technically the first African, because he was born in Africa.
Nigeria.
Nigeria.
Because they go back to the Nigerians. Yeah, we hate that guy. Yeah,
it's like, what's his name?
He's Marty Haas.
Yeah, Marty Haas. He's like, you're talking about some guys in the background. It's like, you're talking about Marty Haas. He's like, yeah, I hate Marty Haas. He's like, fuck Marty Haas. So it's like a
and
thing.
And I think that's dude
still going on.
That dude's, he's a guy from Lost.
Yeah, he's in a lot of stuff.
He was in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, they got a lot of people.
Yeah,
a
everyone's lot of famous.
Oh, he was the guy who was like trying to woo Daenerys in that one episode, right? With all that gold.
Yeah. I think so.
So yeah, it had a lot. Jeff Goldblum plays older Andy Samberg. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's good.
Lance Armstrong is in it, and they keep referencing that, which is really funny because he's like supposed to be hidden, but like the light goes on and they open the blinds and you see it's Lance Armstrong and his voice is changed. And John Cena,
who's older, John Cena?
Dolph
Lundgren.
Dolph Lundgren.
Dolph
older,
Lundgren
John
was
Cena.
Older. John Cena.
And then Orlando Bloom dies in the race, like. So he did. He wasn't there. But yeah, it's really funny. I was surprised how funny their sports mockumentaries are.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
Because they did this one and they did 7 Days in Hell, which was with Kit Harington and Andy Samberg playing Wimbledon. And it was a Wimbledon match that lasted 7 days. And it was really funny. So yeah, what do you rate this, Mike?
I probably give this a 6.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
I think it's 7 for me. Cause
okay, yeah.
It was... laugh out loud funny
it was
times.
A good yeah it was a good watch
yeah, because there's this one part where there's only 5 racers left and they're trying to see who could go the slowest
yeah
because like they don't want to be because like the person in the front has to break the air for everyone, and they're arguing over who's gonna break the air for everyone, so they all start going slow as possible, and then like the commentators racing them. Oh, and then there's a lady in
there.
Oh
yeah, she has to pretend to be
a
dude.
She pretended to be a guy to be the first woman in the sport, because women weren't allowed in the sport. And then her and Andy Samberg fall in love with each other.
Yeah.
So in the process, it was the first gay couple in biking history, but they weren't gay. And then she was technically the first transgender person in biking history. Because she was faking her gender.
Oh my gosh.
And it was like the first homosexual, secretly heterosexual relationship. It's pretty funny the way they did everything.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to TV. Let's talk about Rick and Morty.
Good morning. Episode 3.
Yeah, we're a week behind.
Pickle Rick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we were a week behind.
Pickle Rick was the episode.
This was a very violent episode.
I thought. With Danny Trejo as a guest.
Yes.
Yeah. And what's up with poop eating?
I don't know.
There's a theory that like in this universe, poop eating is a thing. Because in Interdimensional Cable episode 1, mm-hmm. there's a guy in another universe who eats poop. And they're saying they went to that universe.
Hmm.
Because Morty's teacher eats poop in this episode.
Interesting.
Well, he's seeing a therapist to stop eating poop. And the therapist says, like, family therapist and coprophagy specialist, which is the eating of poop, the compulsion to eat poop. So, yeah, there's just some fun fact for you.
Did not know that theory.
That's interesting. Fine.
And that's a real disease. So.
Oh.
Another fun fact for everyone out
there. Interesting.
But yeah, people said Rick and Morty, like, they're not happy with stuff
this season. Not a huge fan of these last two episodes. Like, they're okay. I'm just curious what direction. Well, it's because there's no Rick and Morty together right now. These two, the first episode's really good, but there's no Rick and Morty on an adventure together. I mean, he wasn't even in the first episode together.
Yeah.
They're all off doing their own thing. Kind of. I think
I never thought about that.
It's just different. Because mm-hmm. Rick's on alone both these last two episodes.
And these episodes tie more together than any episodes.
Yeah, that's before. Also weird. It's like the divorce thing's a big plot line. Yeah. I'm like, usually.
More family oriented.
And Dan Harmon went through a divorce since the second season.
Yeah, usually they're standalone. And this is like standalone, but they're incorporate. It's the big storyline. They got divorced. Yeah. And it's carried through these two episodes. And that's kind of weird to me. That's its storyline. But maybe they have a purpose. I don't know. But it's I agree with that.
Yeah.
I still like Pickle
Rick. Yeah, Pickle Rick's just a great concept. And like,
yeah,
because you get the sense immediately like he's been doing something with the rats.
Yeah,
and something like there's a whole backstory that you don't know, and you're just like, why are you so against the rats right now?
Yeah, I really like the tidbits they give you in Rick and Morty. That's like there's a huge backstory that
we're never gonna see it too.
Yeah. That's the other thing. It's like we're not even gonna see it. We're just my mind is like, what's going on? There's something going on. I can figure out by piecing these together. But like,
I think that is something they do very well.
That's the magic.
Is where it's an aspect where they don't care about the audience. They're not hand holding us
exactly
through each and every storyline, where they actually are like, hey, just like sometimes, like it promotes like the fan fiction aspect of it.
Yeah. Exactly. Because you can always go like, oh, I know the whole history of this alien race that we saw for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Where it's like a big impact. I'm like, yeah, but what, maybe this is like, that planet's like this or something. I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I think that's my favorite part about the show. Like the complete randomness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that it's all strategic in a certain way. Where even if they don't explain anything, they'll give... You realize maybe 4 episodes before they give you a really small bit and then they expand upon it, but there's still this huge gap as if the show is going on while you're not there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's never like until these last few episodes, it's never like consistently in a line like things happening that you know. No.
Yeah,
that you know. Yeah.
And then Game of Thrones, Spoils of War, was the last episode.
This is a huge episode. This is a great episode.
You watch Game of Thrones, right?
Yes. Shame.
What do you mean shame? Shame for me on thinking you don't?
Yeah. Oh, Game of Thrones. I
dressed up as Missandei.
I know, but we were talking about it yesterday.
Yeah. But we were all saying it'd be really weird if you didn't watch the show and dressed as a character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That.
I mean, sometimes as a person of color, you just get what you get if you don't watch it. I guess that's
kind
of
true. Yeah.
But, yeah, I dressed up in Missandei. I love her.
Me too.
Because she's pretty cool. Honestly still alive.
Yeah. I know. It's impressive. You need a you don't even need a translator anymore.
Mm-mm. No.
Or did she ever need did she teach her the language? Or
no, she needed a translator in the beginning.
Okay.
Like when she first met her, she needed a translator.
Okay, then she taught her, so now she knows.
Yeah.
Well, I thought for certain languages, but that when they first met, she pretended not to know the language.
Yeah, I remember that. So she could fool them into thinking.
But now she's like training the other guys how to speak.
Yeah. That's smart.
Okay, like,
then you can talk in front of your enemies right in front of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love this episode so much. Mm-hmm. So many reunions and
awesomeness.
Awesome epic battle-ness.
Yeah, that battle's insane at the bottom or at the end of the episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is like. So I'm like interested to see like, because I don't know. There's something about like the
people are tired of the pacing though for the show.
Oh, it's super fast. It's crazy.
Super fast.
It's like hyper speed.
Yeah.
It's like we wouldn't like in older seasons like these meetings wouldn't have like so many times these characters like we're gonna meet up and then they just pass each other
or it would take a full season for the meeting to happen.
Exactly. No,
like Jon Snow would be like, okay, I'm leaving the wall now. Gonna go back to Winterfell.
Yeah, literally.
And then like see episode 10. He's like, finally reaching Winterfell.
That's what it is, like, yeah. He would, like, leave Winterfell, and then, oh, he's not going to get there till the 10th episode.
Yeah. I was reading an article about the cat's claw, the dagger.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize how important that dagger is. Like, that dagger is the reason everything happened in the show. Like, that's the reason where we are in the show.
Yeah.
That's the reason Robb Stark is dead. That's the reason everything. Yeah, I totally forgot about it.
That started.
Yeah.
It partially.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the window part.
Like the callus or something.
Then the dagger.
Yeah, because then Rob Stark wanted to kill the owner of the dagger.
I mean, it's really the original thing is like, can I spoil from like three seasons ago for it?
Yeah, go for it.
I don't know. Everyone knows, but they should. Yeah. They watch the show. They're not going to understand if I say it anyway.
Like, was it Robert's Rebellion?
No, it's when Peter Baelish kills John. He kills the Hand of the King. He, like, poisons him or whatever. And that leads to Ned Stark becoming the Hand of the King.
Yeah.
Like, if that never happened, he's not going to be Hand of the King, and then they're not even going to come there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of like, Baelish is kind of the... Oh, he's a good villain, too, Baelish.
Yeah, he is a good villain.
Because it's like, he's more subtle, and he's like...
He's more calculated.
More calculated, and he's like, you don't really think of him as like that, but he's like, he doesn't necessarily inflict bad stuff, but he puts people in bad positions for them, and that kind of screws them over. Like, he's the Ramsay, it's his fault, all the Ramsay stuff, because he puts Sansa in that position, pretty much. And, like, his character has to have known all that garbage, even though he says he didn't know.
Yeah.
There's no way he doesn't know. Like, I can't imagine that.
Everyone thinks he's just creepy, but he has so much in the background, like, so much.
I know, he's doing so many things. Yeah.
And no one knows it until, Bran comes along, and I'm like...
Yeah, he's like,
he sees you, bitch!
Exactly, I'm waiting for him to get knives, because, man, like, Bran knows everything. Like, just talk to people, Bran. Stop being all cryptic and weird. Just be like, no, this guy's evil. Kill him. Right now. Like, it's nuts. Like, I'm like, Bran, you're an idiot. Stop.
Yeah, but then I won't be able to talk like Peter Baelish anymore, and that seems disappointing.
I know. His voice is funny.
Yeah, he's like, the way he pronounces things... I saw a meme
that
today.
May be a reason to keep
where it's like it shows Bran and says chaos is a ladder, and then it showed Peter Baelish and he's like ladder, and he's like huh. It's like yeah, because the way he says like Catelyn
Stark. Oh, every time he says Stark.
Sansa, you're the true leader of Winterfell.
Things will happen or they won't.
Yeah, goodbye, Bran, Lord of Winterfell.
Seems like I'm you guys a practice a lot.
No, it's just his voice is so weird that it's so easy unique. To do.
So Irish.
Yeah, he's like, Catelyn. I always loved like Catelyn, and now I love you. Sansa. And you're like, what is going on?
Do not forget.
Yeah.
I saved you.
It's the knife of the assassin who tried to kill you.
I thought you might like it. Why would I like that? Like, I don't know.
You don't remember that thing that cut my mom's hand?
I just thought it'd be a good gift.
Yeah. Lord of the North. You're like, what? Okay. It's like I'm the three-eyed raven now. Because Bran is equally as creepy.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, you looked very beautiful that day, Sansa. It was snowing. And you're like, you're talking about the night that your sister got raped.
That scene, I was like, why? What happened? Nothing happened for you to be like this, maybe.
It's literally like, I know.
Killed. He's dead.
Because they're saying it was weird, because they're saying they must have changed his story. Because they're saying it was because they say in this, like, oh, it's the cave. After the cave, you weren't the same. But
it's not that, though. It's when he got touched by the Night King, as they say, is when he changed.
I know, but if you watch him in the scene after he escapes all that, he seems normal.
Yeah, he seems normal.
Like when he's talking to his uncle, whatever, like
Uncle Benjen.
Yeah, he seems normal. I think they
Uncle whatever. Come on, he has a name.
Yeah, they changed something in his character where he's like, you're all zoned out now.
I know. How are you gonna treat the girl who saved you like that?
Yeah, no, but it's like,
I think that's what happens when you see he sees all this evil that's happened in the world.
The problem is he's seen everybody. He's like, everybody sucks.
He's seen his sister get raped. Like, I think that kills you.
That's probably what it is. He's seen until this point. Because up until that point, I don't think he explored on his own so much.
He saw like who he thought was his like half brother turns out to not be his half brother. He sees like. All these people die, like everyone who's ever died, he's witnessed their death.
He's seen every bad thing that the supposed good people he thought were good people do. Yeah. All these bad things.
And maybe seeing them in actuality is just like, he's done.
That's probably
That's what it is.
Like, he's just like, I'm shutting down. I would too.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He's like, I know everything, everything's pointless.
Yeah, like the White Walkers are coming.
Yeah, it's like, you guys are dumb anyway. I know everything, but.
Yeah. But no one's listening to me because I'm just a cripple boy.
Yes, but I love this episode.
Yeah, me too.
A lot.
Time for discussion this week. If there was a Rick and Morty episode based on a movie, which movie Well, I mean, there are Rick and Morty episodes based on movies. Mm-hmm. Which movie would you choose? Let's go to Instagram, where people commented on the post.
Did they now?
Yeah. It is right here. Okay. We got a few responses. I'm happy. Whoa. Clicked on Justin Roiland. Hashtag. Mandy says Ex Machina. That'd be interesting to see. Maybe like Rick would create a cybernetic version of his wife.
Create a robot.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Uxher said Hot Fuzz.
Oh, that'd be
fun. That would be weird.
Yeah. The whole town.
The whole town.
Like, oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Anna said Baby Driver.
I haven't seen the movie yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen the movie yet, but I'd be very interested in seeing Justin Roiland improvise like songs for this. Because like the soundtrack is a big part of Baby Driver.
Yeah.
Improv is a big.
That'd be a lot of fun.
And then Edwin said Soylent Green. That'd be very interesting to see.
I haven't seen that movie either. We talked about that movie though.
Yeah. It's like in the cultural zeitgeist.
Yeah.
What movies would you like to get? Where do you guys like to see? Because there's been like a lot. Like,
yeah.
Even Nightmare on Elm Street had like a
scene.
Mad Max. Yeah.
You can run, but you can't hide.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the purge.
Get you, bitch.
Purge episode talked about last week.
We do hide. I thought about this one. I didn't know like how much of the episode it would be, but it's pretty. In my head, fleshed out.
Yeah, go for it.
Have you guys seen the movie Run Lola Run?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I was thinking, like, inspired by that, that Rick, we don't get much context except like somebody he screwed over.
Yeah.
From like the Federation. I mean, or
that's
something.
Yeah, it's very believable.
Yes.
Is holding like Summer, Beth, and Morty all hostage, and he has to pick one to save instead of like, you know, trying to get the money from. Mistakes from somebody else, and we just go through the episode of what happened if he saved Morty? What would life be like if he only saved Morty? What would life be like if he only saved Beth and Summer? So you see it play out, but we don't know this. So he like runs and the episode goes through and we see him save Morty because we're like, oh yeah, that's the natural choice.
It's Rick and Morty after all. It's not Rick and Beth or Rick and Summer.
Yeah. And then that ends, and you see it start all over again. You're like, oh, crap, it was doing like that, so that's how the episode would run. And then at the end of it, you're like, okay, well, that's all three options where we're done. There's a fourth option where Rick is like, fuck it, I'm not saving anybody. I'm just going to go to a different world.
Oh, that's good.
And he goes to a different world, and he tries to like just take over that life and try to kill that Rick. And it turns out we're not even watching our own Rick. We're watching a different Rick. And so we see this other Rick come and try to kill our Rick, and they're like in this brawl or whatever. And then Morty walks in, and he's like, you know, typical Morty. Oh God, what's happening? What do I do? And then they're both like, kill him, Rick, or kill him, Morty, kill him. And then one of the Ricks kills the other Rick, and Morty's like, oh, okay, good, we got that Rick. But we're not sure if it's the right Rick. So rest of the season, there's like little things where Morty's like, don't you remember us doing that? And he's like, yeah, I remember, Morty. But we don't know if that's our Rick the rest of the season.
Like, we don't know if it's the alcohol finally getting to his brain.
Yeah,
or if it's a different Rick.
That is an awesome idea.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dan Harmon. That's you here?
Good. Yeah.
That's really listening? Good.
Michael, sure. About you? Hard to act to follow.
I know.
Sorry, I thought this was like the whole episode.
That's no, it's
usually
really
a
good
small
one.
Part of our episode because
yes.
we don't flesh things out like that.
Yes.
It should be a long part of our episode.
Yeah, that's like a fully developed idea of
yeah.
an episode.
Even. Like, I'm surprised that hasn't already happened, honestly.
Yeah,
if you guys want curated.
That's
topics,
a really good one.
I have nothing but time.
Yeah.
Yes. But I was thinking like a Ocean 11 like style movie where it's like a heist and you bring back a bunch of characters from
that was
like
my second.
Yeah, I think that's a good, like, because then you can get, like, squanchy, and, like, everyone has their own skill or whatever.
Or it could even be a flashback to
what the old crew. Before. The old crew, yeah.
Because then you could bring back, like, Bird Person instead of, like, Phoenix Person.
Yeah, because I was thinking Bird Person, but, like, you can't now.
Yeah, so and you could bring back that one dude.
Commopulous Michael or whatever.
Yeah.
You can bring Mr. Meeseeks since he's exactly, there to...
Yes, he can be one person, so like it's a way to get him in there too. So you can like bring a lot of characters back that are like associated, and anybody from that party or whatever that Rick invited with all his friends. So I think you could do it with, like, a lot of cool, fun stuff with, like, a heist with a bunch of those characters.
Yeah.
Be cool. Why
hasn't that been done either?
I know. Like, it took well, a I mean, 4 years to write.
It's only been, like, what, 23 episodes? 24 episodes up to this point? So it's out of time.
There's all, like, down the pipe.
Until they get that syndication money.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That could take forever. Y'all.
Yeah.
I know. I'll write these episodes. I just want to see him.
Do it for free, man.
Yeah. Just to be in that cat in Starburns.
Well, if he can let me meet Childish Gambino, I'm clever.
Yeah.
I don't need payment.
Would he do a special voice? Because, like, that's a big part of the show, too. Or, like, celebrity voice. Like, guest
voices. He doesn't have a voice yet, has he? Donald Glover.
That would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just, like, maybe, like, narrating it. Like, he's the voiceover or something.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
My idea is Requiem for a Dream. It'd ideally be when Jerry is like, okay, I'm going to go back and get my wife back. And then he comes and, like, Beth, Morty, and Summer are all have three very different addictions. And Rick is the cause of these three addictions in his own way. I think that'll be very interesting to see play out because Requiem for a Dream is such a dark, weird movie that I would love to see. Stuff. And Jerry's like, this is what my family has become.
Oh my gosh.
It's like, I actually need to be here.
Yeah, he's like, stop they this. Need me. Only to realize it was like just a science experiment that went wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he wakes up in a tumbleweed.
He's like, oh, they never needed me. Damn it. Damn it. This would have been actually better if they were addicted to things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he goes back to their house after he wakes up and they're just thriving and doing really well without him.
Yeah. Oh, now I want to see all these episodes.
Yeah. Next week's discussion is most evil person on Game of Thrones. There's a lot to pick.
A lot of villains,
but
a lot of evil
characters. Some might argue
Marjorie
Tyrell is the most evil person on Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And some people might lose arguments also.
I hate Jon Snow!
Yeah.
That asshole.
That's her main argument.
He's not letting the Night King do what he wants to do.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Clearly.
Depends on your perspective.
You're like,
I know.
Nymeria's kind of evil. Has a whole family of wolves, doesn't go back to...
Exactly. What a dick.
Yeah, doesn't remember where she came from.
Like, was it Drogon? Which dragon burned that child? That dragon's evil.
Yeah.
What about the dragons? They're like, why am I fighting this war? Yeah. I just was born and now you're making me do all these things?
For their
like
mother.
Fights?
Mother. She's the mother of
she's
them.
She's an abusive mom.
She locked them up. Two of them.
The fights?
That's after they burnt the kid.
Yeah. Do you think they learned that lesson?
Just pat them, say no.
Yeah, just roll up a newspaper.
Train them.
Roll up a scroll and hit them on their nose.
Be like, goat, good. Yeah. Child, bad.
She never even taught them the difference.
Exactly. Yeah. How are they supposed to know?
Well, at that time, also, remember, they were like trying to get at her. Like, they were pushing the limits.
Oh, yeah. They almost did attack her.
Yeah.
Well, because...
That's discipline. You got to spank the dragons every so often.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Khaleesi, spank your dragons.
That sounds so wrong.
You're welcome. It's what you
said. Oh, no.
Yeah, it's what I said.
Sure.
But it sounds so weird now. On Netflix today, Gold.
I think this is the McConaughey one?
This is the Matthew McConaughey
one. He's like, there's gold in South America.
I think the director got pissed at the Weinstein Company because they released The Founder and Gold like 3 months apart and it's like the same movie.
Oh, is it?
Where it's about like a guy exploiting the stuff and it's like a period piece and he's like, you screwed me on my release. So
yeah, I assume The Founder's a lot better.
Yeah. Come back next week, or I mean not next week.
Whoa.
Come back tomorrow for America's Sweetheart, This Week Moves Now, and Trailer Talk. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Destiny Pizzas. Until next week, grab a slice and enjoy. Goodbye.